Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight, and in spending it with the Old Ship of Zion program on tonight. And there is laid up a blessing engraved with your name on it. So before we go into any further preliminaries, I would ask you, all of my beautiful, loyal, and faithful listeners, my extended church family, my kinship family, my supporters of Jesus Christ, and all of my constituents around the globe, I just thank God for you, and I just thank God for allowing us to assemble together in a digital format. You know, only God can do something of that magnitude. And I just thank God for you, as I first stated. And so I will be with you tonight, 30 minutes on the clock. And I know my clock is now ticking. So before we go into any further ado, let's take time out and reference God, because he is the reason for the season. God is the reason that we're able to unite around this globe as a holy people, as a holy nation, united. Hallelujah. We are together, united, and divided, we shall all separate. So right now, I am asking you that will to bow your beautiful heads as we acknowledge our Father right now. Father God, hallelujah. We come with a grateful heart of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, for assembling us together in unity once again around this spectrum. Father, we're coming from the north, south, east, and west as pilgrims through this barren land. For God, we know that this place is just a holdover. This is not our home. But you have laid up a mansion for those of us that are living according to your command. And Father God, hallelujah, I'm asking you to anoint these lips of clay, to bring a rhema word to those that may or may not know of you in the pardons of their sins. Grace me, your servant, with words of encouragement and words of wisdom to those that are hurting deep within the epitome of their souls. I'd be so mindful to give your name the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and we shall all say in unity, amen and amen. Hallelujah. And you know, like I said, I just thank you for just spending your night with the old ship of Zion. And I tell you, they're definitely laid up a blessing with your name on it. I tell you, you can just know that God has a blessing stamped with your name on it. And so tonight, our sermon entitled is Life and Life. Let me repeat that again. Light and life. And so we will talk about the characteristics of this omnipotent spiritual man, Jesus Christ. Now in him was life, and the life was the light of men. That's found in the law of John 1 and 4. How said that life for so many is darkness, while Jesus Christ brings both light and life for the Ashton. Those who trust Christ find that he changes death to eternal life and darkness to light. Christ, the light of the world and the Prince of Life, reveals and releases the brilliance of his life-sustaining power. This is seen especially through our life, Gospel of John, bringing life to water. In John 2, we see that Christ gave life to water. What a disappointing moment it was when the wine ran out at the wedding in Cana. Yet Christ imparted life to an ordinary water, turning it into premium wine that satisfied and made merry the hearts of the guests. Jesus was his first miracle, shined out to proclaim that life with him is joyful. Wine here represents happiness and joy. Jesus takes the commonplace and makes it rich with promise. He said, I have come that they might have life more abundantly. That's in the law of John 10 and 10. And Christians are far from being miserable people, but each believer is daily learning true contentment and joy in Christ himself. Bringing life to people in John 3, we read of a religious Nicodemus coming to Christ at midnight to talk of spiritual matters. Jesus told him quite simply that he has to be born again if he was to have eternal life and enter the kingdom of God. Nicodemus was a Pharisee from Judea, but he found the secret of life in Christ. Later in John's Gospel, John 4, a wayward woman of Samaria met Jesus at the well. And there at the well, hallelujah, as she trusted Jesus' words, she found life springing up like a well of water within her. Still later, Norman's son was healed by the power of Christ. This incident led to the man's entire household believing in Christ. The man was an influenced person from Galilee, but he came to Christ for life. That's in the law of John 4 and 46 through 54. And we find out that Jesus appealed to Nicodemus' mind, to the Samaritan woman's conscience, and the nobleman's heart, but all with intentions that they might trust him. This is clear light from these and other incidents that living in Christ is to live a spiritual life. We find out that the basic difference that Christ makes to those who believe in his servanthood is that they have a new spiritual life. They are then merged, a relationship with God that affects and alters all things. But we know that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That's in the law of Romans 6 and 23. Jesus bringing life to the helpless. That's in John 5, relates how Christ gave life to a previous dead leg. For many years, a poor, infirm man had laid hopping, and someone would dip him into the healing water, the pool of Bethesda. But he had no man to help him. Hallelujah. Christ was more than mere man. It's God in human. And we know that he had the power to heal when he said, rise, take up your bed and walk. Immediately the man received life in his legs. He walked away and picked up his bed as if to show that he would never return to his former life of infirmity. The life from this incident is that we have new life in Christ. We walk in newness of life. We read in the law of Romans 6 and 4. And I'm here to tell you, you that are out there in my digital listening audience on tonight, Christ does not just rearrange the old life. He carefully replaces it with a brand new existence. Each new day, the Christian has the privilege of walking with Christ and running his errands with joyful gratitude. Hallelujah. Christ also has the opportunity to bring life to life to loaves and fish. If we read in the law of John 6, we see Christ giving life to two dead fish and five loaves of bread. In so doing, he sets a threefold example for all to follow. He gave thanks. It is right, as well as a good testimony, to say grace before all meals. And he aptly fed the hungry. Jesus met physical and spiritual needs. And he gathered the leftover. Wasting food where so many are hungry is unthinkable for Christ and his followers. What light is there from this miracle, you might ask? Jesus told us the answer when he called himself the bread of life. True life cannot be found anywhere but in him and by regularly feeding on him. Christ is to be our daily delight. Reading his word and communing with him in prayer provides a significant supply of strength to meet every trial and test. Bringing life to a fallen woman in John 8. Christ gave life to a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. The religious leader who said that she must by law be stoned. We're seeking to trap Jesus in a wrong decision. Their attitude was completely at fault. And as their action in bringing only the woman, not the guilty man, for judgment. Jesus wrote in the dust, perhaps fulfilling Jeremiah 17 and 13. Those who depart from me shall be written in the earth because they have forsaken the Lord. The fountains of living water, Christ appealed to the crowd. He said, "Is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." And that's in the law of John 8 and 7. Then from the oldest to the youngest, they left the scene. Christ did not condemn this woman, but commanded her to go and sin no more. What a wonderful encounter here. To is a light. Christ is our justification through him. The free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. That's in the law of Romans 5 and 18. And at a Christian moment of conversion, there is cleansing from sin, justification before God, and the start of a new life. In for with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Christ also bringing life to the blind. John 9 shows that Christ gave life to a dead eye. Here a man born blind rejoiced to see Christ who has anointed his eyes. There was now blazing new light and bound to its light for this man. Again, we are shown that Christ is the light of the world. He has promised all who would follow him that they will not walk in darkness. The exciting journey with Jesus Christ is not dependent on new experience, excitement, or excess, but on his presence alone. He is the light of life. All others bring darkness and delusion. Bringing life to Lazarus, John 11 details for us Jesus raising Lazarus, who had been dead and buried for 4 days. Christ wept at the tomb and identifying himself with all human sorrow. Then he called Lazarus to come forth, bound in grave clothes, but very much alive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The body that had been dead and beginning to decay came out from the tomb. Christ gave life to a dead man. In so doing, he revealed to us that he is the resurrection and the life. John 11 and 25. For every believer, there is a promise of eternity. Through a Christian dies physically, he is more alive than ever to be free from sin, sorrow, separation, and death. Is the prospect of all who turn in repentance and faith to the Savior. God also bringing life to Barnabas. In the final stage of Christ's earthly ministry, he began to demonstrate the truth of him was light, and the light was the light of man. All four gospels attest that Jesus, hallelujah, we know, in effect gave life to Barnabas, his fellow prisoner. The name Barnabas means son of my father. He was like us all, sons and daughters of our father. Having done wrong, deserving to die. And we find out that Christ died in place of Barnabas and us. There's a bright, beaming light from the episode 2. Christ is a saving light. It is through his death that we have life. When he died, he was actually paying the penalty for all of our sins, providing the only way for forgiveness for us all. Only when we cling to the old rugged cross, confessing our sins and trusting Christ, can we find God and a new life, Paul said. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. That's in the law of Galatians 2 and 20. God also bringing life to himself. In John 20 comes the ultimate miracle. Christ gave life to his own dead body in every great act of God. The Trinity, the one true God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is at work in the creation and in the incarnation. Hallelujah. Baptism, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We read in Scripture that the Father raised up Christ. That's in the law of 1 Corinthians 6 and 14. That the Spirit raised him up. Romans 8 and 11. and also that Christ raised himself, John 2:19. Neither the grave nor the guards could keep Jesus in the tomb. He defeated sin and death. The light shed by this great event is that Christ's life is eternal. So too do Christians look beyond the grave, for as in Adam, all die. Even so in Christ, all shall be made alive. The last enemy that God will destroy, that will be death. That is in the law of 1 Corinthians 15:22-26. We find out, lastly, the Christian life is a series of new beginnings. If you have never recognized the life and the light offered by Jesus Christ, you can ask him now to forgive your sins on the basis of his death for you. I would request that you ask him to live in you and through you on the basis of his resurrection. Then as a believer, you will have the privilege and the duty of holding forth the word of life. You can read that in the law of Philippians 2:16. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. That is in the law of Matthew 5:16. And before closing, I hope and I pray that I've said something to impact your mind and infuse your spirit as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. And if this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with Christ, we would acknowledge that you would give the old ship of Zion a remittance. And if you need any prayer requests that you would like the old ship of Zion to go down in prayer with you about, you can send your remittance to God House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Ministry, Blog Talk Radio, program Old Ship of Zion. You can make attention to Senior Pastor Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California, 95020. Till we meet again, I want you to go in God while God go in you. Bye for now.
I'm a weird.